Good morning, brethren. Well, one thing I learned when I walked in this morning is that Pentecost is a week and a day away. I thought it was 2 weeks and a day away. But what I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to have a discussion of the Holy Spirit, what it is, what does it do? Because a lot of times, as you know, we are in the minority of what most Christian churches follow on the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot more that we actually differentiate with other churches, all of which can be found in Scriptures. So we are going to be going through a lot of Scriptures today. And if you can't keep up with all of that, just try to write them down and review them over the next week here. One thing that I wanted to do is there was a letter that was sent out to us by Victor Kubik, and he actually listed two scriptures, and since he's our president, I thought we would just start with those and pretty much have that as our theme for the day. If we can turn to Acts, the second chapter, both of them are in Acts in the second chapter. Chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And actually, this is a quote from Joel. But I think it does set again the theme here coming up for the next week to 8 days. And it reads, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then dropping down to verse 38, we'll read 38 and 39. Again, Mr. Kubik wanted to emphasize verse 38. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" Again, you may just want to circle those two in your notes and review them often here in the next 7 to 8 days. For the rest of my sermon, I do want to give what I studied was a sermon by John Miller. Also, quite frankly, a lot of the information that I receive, as I've told you every time, I get off the UCG website. What I do is I go to the top buttons, and again, you can start right out, "I am new," even if you're not new. And as you scroll down, there'll be a lot of information, not only booklets, but also information of other sermons. You can go to sermons also. But it's a wonderful website, and it's just a treasure chest of information for all of us to know. So, let's review some of the differences that we have from mainstream Christianity. Let's talk about God's Spirit, which is holy. But first, let's back up a little bit. Let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. It's only one sentence that I really want to emphasize. And to verse 24. I'll try on most of these one sentences to just read them off to you so you don't have to turn. But this starts the basis of God and the talk about a Holy Spirit. John 4, verse 24. And this is Jesus speaking. Jesus is talking to the woman in the well, And he says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is spirit, a direct statement from Jesus Christ. The nature and substance of God, he's composed of spirit. That is his essence. It's difficult to define, but you have to understand that the essence, again, is spirit for our Lord, for Almighty God. Now note this. Turn to John chapter 3. I'll tell you what, this one I'm going to read to you. John chapter 3, and it'll be verse 6. And again, one sentence, but it leads us to the conclusion that we're looking for. And that one sentence reads, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. We all know, but we'll see through the scripture here, there's a huge, huge gap between the two. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 53. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 53. And I don't have it. Let me read it to you, though. I apologize. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 50 through 53. And they read, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Again, a tremendous gap is going to be between flesh and between spirit. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We only have one example, but we have our most important example of Jesus Christ during the Passover season that has just completed. And he has been changed from a natural body to spirit. No other human being has had such a transformation. He is our Lord and our Savior. He not only died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, but he went up into heaven to show that we can also follow and go to heaven and go and see ultimately with God returning and with us meeting God in the air that we will be in God's kingdom. Jesus Christ did two critical things during the Passover season for us. Let me read Luke chapter 24, verse 39. And I'll read this to you. Now, this was after Jesus was walking with two men on the road to Emmaus. He then eats bread with them, disappears, and then shows up again back in Jerusalem with the remaining 11 apostles. Maybe more, but we do know the 11 were there. When he showed up, they were terrified. Jesus makes this statement. Behold my hands and my feet, that is, I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Christ states a spirit does not have flesh and bones. Next, let's all of us turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 39 through 45. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 39 through 45. And it reads, "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star is different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power." There are different kinds of flesh, different species of animals. There are different kinds of celestial bodies. There are differences in God's creation of major categories, and there are differences in those categories of one star to another. As we will see, that includes men, that includes spirits. There are different spirits mentioned in Scripture, and I will read these to you. 2 Corinthians 11:4. "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you received a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Or in other words, get rid of it. But again, you may receive a different spirit. In Numbers, verse 14, chapter 14, verse 24. Actually, I'll start verse 14, 24. It says in verse 20, "Then the Lord said," so this is our Lord speaking, dropping to 24, "but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Turning to Luke, chapter 9, verse 55. Luke 9, 55. And there is just a statement, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are." Obviously indicating more than one spirit. Turning to 1 John, verse 4. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Randy, you're right, I do that a lot, sorry. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It reads, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." And again, this is 1 John speaking hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And even this, angelic spirits are different from Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's turn to a very interesting verse in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll turn to verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. "To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So prophets are preaching. Prophets are preaching from the power of God, but sometimes they're preaching about things which the angels desire to look into, which they cannot do. Now, from Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, it states, angels have only the contrast between good and evil, without the power of conversion from sin to righteousness. Witnessing such conversion in the church, they long to penetrate the knowledge of the means whereby it is brought about. It's Hoffman and Ford. Now, we know that the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. No other spirits except God and Jesus Christ are life-giving spirits. Spirits are different, and they are distinct from God. Let's turn to John 1, something that we know. But let's look at the spirits of our Almighty Father and Jesus Christ. John 1. And we'll read verses 1 through 4. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Again, Jesus Christ can give life. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, all things made through this Word, and without Him nothing that was made that was made. God and Jesus Christ are co-eternal. Some churches don't teach that. But we know that God and Jesus Christ are co-eternal. They have always existed. And mankind has trouble grasping that concept that there's no beginning. We just have that problem. Our life here on earth, a beginning and an end. So it is a mystery, but we know it's a fact coming again from Scripture. They have always both existed. Christ, all things were made of Him. He couldn't have been made by Him because He already existed, so that we know that He is co-eternal. God and Jesus are also of the same substance. You don't have to turn here, but John 14, verse 10, a scripture you all know, and it reads, John 14, verse 10, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves that He had done." Again, you and I consist of the same flesh. Our Father and Jesus are of the same substance. They are eternal. This is their essence. The whole understanding from Scripture that God is sharing His essence with us through Jesus Christ, regenerating us by washing us, empowering us, and adopting us to become the very family of God. And we're in an embryonic stage for us to be born later when we are resurrected to be like Jesus Christ. You can recognize the different spirits because they have different underlying attitudes. Let's turn to 2 Timothy, verse 1. 2 Timothy, verse 1. And we will read, chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. There are different components of spirit. God has given us the spirit of power, love, and of sound mind. As he's talking to Timothy, it is not one of fear. One of fear is an underlying satanic attitude and influence over someone. Now, sit back and just listen, because I'm now going to list the different attitudes of Satan that we find in our scriptures. Satanic spirits show attitudes and components of fear, as we've just read, also causing men to be mute, Mark 9:17, deaf and dumb, Mark 9:25, the spirit of infirmity, Luke 13:11, spirit of fortune telling, Acts 16:16, preaching of another Jesus or of another gospel, preaching confusion, 2 Corinthians 11:4, also the spirit of jealousy, Numbers 5:14, the spirit made one obstinate, never heard that one, Deuteronomy 2:30, a spirit of ill will, Judges 9:23, a sorrowful spirit, 1 Samuel 1:15, and a distressing spirit in 1 Samuel 16:15, a sullen spirit, 1 Kings 21:15, and a lying spirit in 1 Kings 22:22. In Psalms 78:8, a non-faithful spirit, a haughty spirit in Proverbs 16:18, a perverse spirit in Isaiah 19:14, a forsaken and grief spirit, also in Isaiah 65:14, a wail of a grief in spirit, a spirit hardened by pride, Daniel 5:20, a spirit of harlotry, Hosea 4:12, a false spirit, Micah 2:11, and a spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, Acts 19:16, a spirit of bondage to fear, Romans 8:15, a spirit of stupor, Romans 11:8, and in Revelation 18:2, a dwelling place for spirits, a prison for every foul spirit. For we know that Satan is a liar and the father of it. And that's in John 8:44. Other attributes are outlined in Galatians 5:19-21. And let us turn there. Galatians 5:19-21. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Keep your finger here. We will come back to this scripture in a few minutes. God, however, gives us a spirit of power, love, and of sound mind. Also, different attributes that we have from God. We get the spirit of wisdom, Exodus 28:3. Your spirit is good, Psalm 143:10. We receive a humble spirit, Proverbs 16:19, and a calm spirit in Proverbs 17:27. In Isaiah 11:2, a spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might. A spirit of justice in Isaiah 28:1, and a contrite and humble spirit in Isaiah 57:15. A spirit of knowledge and understanding in Daniel 5:12. The spirit of truth, John 14:17. A spirit of comfort in Acts 9:11. The spirit of grace and supplication, Zechariah 12:10. A spirit of life, Romans 8:10. And in Romans 8:15, a spirit of adoption, spirit of gentleness. In 1 Corinthians 4:21, a spirit of knowledge and wisdom. Liberty in 2 Corinthians 3:17. The fruit of spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, Ephesians 5:9. Spirit of joy, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. A spirit of grace, Hebrews 10:29. Incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, 1 Peter 3:4. A spirit of glory and of God, 1 Peter 4:14. And a spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19:10. God is spirit. We learn that from what Jesus said at the woman from the well. What group do you want to belong to? God is spirit. God is love. Two descriptors. The spirit that God is composed of and connects with love, an underlying attitude and behavior. Let's again look at chapter 5 in Galatians, verse 22 and 23. Again, a summary chapter, as we read earlier about the satanic spirits. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Also another summary spirit, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. We'll read verses 7 through 13. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. God is Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's essence that He freely gives to us. This gift, if we utilize it, we become empowered by the very nature of God. We take on the power of God and take on His attitude of love. Subcategories, kindness, generosity, being humble, etc., that we've just read. Spirit is what God is made of, composed of. Love is how he acts and what is the premise that he does things. The Spirit, not part of a Godhead, but a sharing of power, attitude, and essence so that we become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit is not part of the Godhead. We start out with a very simple example. We're not turning there, but to Matthew 1:20. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So you know we've questioned before, does that mean then that the Son of God is not the Son of God, but the Son of the Holy Spirit? Of course not. He's the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is not part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not even described as an angelic being. The Holy Spirit in its essence, its intrinsic nature, its character or indispensable quality, that's the definition of essence. Its intrinsic nature, its character or indispensable quality is described differently than how the Bible describes God our Father and Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. A sound of a rushing wind, tongues of fire distributed and resting on each. The scripture here of the Holy Spirit is not one of God sitting on a throne, for example, or of Jesus Christ, not only walking here on earth, but also going back and being on the right hand of our Father. A rushing wind, tongues of fire. They're describing things differently. Let's turn to John chapter 20. And in John we'll have three more examples. John 20. John 20, verses 20 through 22. John 20, verses 20 through 22. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Rushing wind, tongues of fire. Now we're talking about breath, descriptions of the Holy Spirit. Turn to John 4. And follow me through this one a little bit. John 4, verse 7. John 4, verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Jump to verse 10. John 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Living water now is a description. Description of what? We'll see the Holy Spirit here soon. Verse 14. John 4, verse 14. Again, Jesus speaking. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So now we're seeing the connection with water. We have breath, rushing wind, tongues of fire, and water. There's a very important point here, too, besides what I'm talking about. This living water will have us spring up to everlasting life. And in John, turn to chapter 7. John 7. And we will read verses 37 through 38. John 7, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." A river flows from a single heart. A demonstration of what we can all be. We don't have to turn there, but Revelation 22:17 says, "He who thirsts, take the water of life freely." Let's turn to Titus. That's behind Timothy. Titus, an excellent book for all of us, but especially for those who are deacons and elders, along with 1 and 2 Timothy. Titus, chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, "whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Again, the Holy Spirit described now as being poured out like water. The Holy Spirit washes us through regeneration. The Spirit received from the Father and poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. How does this work? Okay. We'll accept everything we've read. It's in Scripture. We accept everything that is read. But how does it work? Let's turn to 1 John 4:13. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. "By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit." By this we know. Often we hear the Christ within. But again, how does this work? I mean, what does this mean? It's actually a procession of how the Holy Spirit, God's power, comes to us. God is Spirit. We know that. God has chosen to share that Spirit with us through Jesus Christ. And let's turn to John 15, not 1 John, but turn back to John 15. John 15, verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Christ is the vine, we are the branches. Without him, we can't accomplish anything. John 15, verse 26. John 15:26, a primary scripture. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. When the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, makes sense, proceeds from the Father, has to come to Christ, and then he can send it to you. John 14, verse 20, should be done just the other page over. John 14, verse 20. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Notice the mechanics. The Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father to Jesus, to us. Jesus sends it to us. This is the procession of the Holy Spirit and how we are all connected. If you would like, on your notes, draw three circles the size of, say, just a dime. They don't have to be that big. One on the left, one on the middle, one on the right. Three circles. From the first circle, draw an arrow from the first circle to the second. On the stem of that arrow, the back stem, draw an arrowhead again, so the arrow goes back and forth. First to the second. Okay? From the second to the third, the same thing. Draw an arrow from the second to the third circle, and on the stem, or on the back, draw an arrowhead again, so that you have a double arrowhead again. Two double arrowheads. Within the circle or above it, if it's a dime, write God. In the middle, write Jesus Christ. And on the right, write us. Now in the right circle, put in 144,000 different... No, never mind, that's a different subject. But let's just say us. But it's important that there are lots of little dots in that third circle. I'll get to that in just 1 second. God is Spirit. God sends His Spirit to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is Spirit. Jesus Christ was also human. So as a human, He can send that Spirit to us, humans. Now the interesting thing, I think we all know, if we pray, we know that through the Holy Spirit, we can connect from us to Jesus, and Jesus will send that along to our Father. By the way, for those who think that the Holy Spirit is part of a Trinity, it doesn't fit in these scriptures. There's not a fourth circle somewhere. The other interesting thing is, have you gone to the feast or anywhere and you talk to someone and you just instantly connect? You just know they're part of our church. They're part of our brethren. They have the Holy Spirit. How do we connect? We connect from 3 to 2 back to 3 again. We connect with the Holy Spirit through Christ. It is the Christ within us. We've heard that often, over and over. What are we talking about? Jesus is the only one who is Spirit and human. He's the connection. more than that, but I mean, he's the connection. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember the three circles. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. Now, this is the Holy Spirit coming into us, that third circle. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. With the advent of Jesus Christ and the giving of the Holy Spirit, something has changed in a substantial and personal way with us. Those of us that have been baptized and hands have put on us, we have changed. Now, you may not have noticed it. Thunder didn't roar. You know, a big hand didn't come out of the sky pointing down to you. But we have changed. We have changed, brethren. In the Old Testament, God dwells, as we know, in a physical temple. In the New Testament, he abides in us. We are the temple. Jesus Christ is dwelling in us through his Spirit, and we are his temple. Brethren, we want flowing water. We want the living water. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 11 through the end of the chapter. Let me just put it that way. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the God Almighty. Brethren, we have to be restrictive. We are the temple of God. We have to have a pretty good maintenance program on this temple. A lot of times we talk about that physically, and that is true. We do have to take care of ourselves physically. But we have to take care of ourselves spiritually too. This is our way of life. Let us take care of our temple. Do not let the surrounding culture get in us. And that's tough. But do not let our surrounding culture get in us. The nature of God is contrary to the world. We must restrict ourselves. Be equally yoked with God, with Jesus. Put aside what is evil. Final scripture, John 6:63. Let's turn to John 6:63. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Again, coming from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Through His Word, through our study of Scripture, through our study of Scripture on the Holy Spirit, through the study of Scripture of who God is and who Jesus Christ is. To review, the whole understanding from Scripture that God is that God is sharing His essence with us through Jesus Christ, regenerating us by washing us, cleaning us, cleansing us, empowering us, and adopting us to become part of the very family of God. For us to be born later, when we are resurrected, to be like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit and its essence, its intrinsic nature, its character, or indispensable quality is described differently than how the Bible describes God our Father and Jesus Christ. There's no interaction between the Holy Spirit and God or Jesus Christ. God speaks to Jesus, Jesus speaks to God. They don't speak to the Holy Spirit, who speaks to God. They speak directly. They are co-equals. They have the same substance. And finally, the power of God, His essence, comes through from Him, through Jesus Christ, to dwell in us.